This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Get the latest business news from CNBC. Weekday mornings at 6:30 and 8:30 and weekday afternoons at 12:30, 4:30 and 5:30.
We make you smarter. Hopefully it'll also make you some money.
Stay connected with Talk 1370, the right choice.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. Okay, we're about to explode tonight. I mean, I know we're a little over the top sometimes, but this show...
You're going to have to talk faster.
No, we have so much ground to cover. I mean, Alonso going to the Indy 500, MotoGP,
cool
here, MotoGP here in Austin in a few days.
They're already starting to show up out there.
Ferrari beating Mercedes in Formula One, Haas F1 scoring points again, and Michael Schenck, the big man, the big boss of Michael Schenck Racing, live on the show in about a half hour, and World Endurance Championship opening
Silverstone
weekend. There's enough to talk about for about 4 hours here, and we're going to squeeze it into one.
There you go.
So this is John Massengill. That's Les Kaiser over there. And Jonathan Green is not going to be on the show today. He's traveling. But he did a really cool interview. He and Inga talked at length about Alonso, and we're going to play a good bit of that. And it was really, really good. So that's such a huge story.
I just love that story. I absolutely love it. You know, I mean, after Alexander Rossi, you know, we saw him go into F1 and then pop up at Indy 500 and win that. It was so cool to be meeting him there in the winner's circle when he came in. And, you know, I'm really kind of curious what the thoughts are back and forth now. It's like, well, wait a minute, another F1 guy?
There's so much complexity to this story, though, with Alonso going to the 500. I mean, there's implications in multiple series, including Formula One, Indy 500, and let's not forget the World Endurance Championship. With his triple crown desires. So I think what I want to do
is, wait a minute. There's a cool little connection. Okay, McLaren is you know, that powered by Honda.
Honda being the key word there.
Yeah, Honda. Think of what the upper end cars are here in the U.S.
You mean NSX?
Yeah, that Acura funny triangle thing on the hood.
So we'll plant
who
that
happens
seed.
To be, and who's our guest?
Yeah, we'll plant that seed in your mind. Let you think about that for a few minutes. But let's go ahead and play this segment of this interview that Jonathan did with Inga Strecha talking about this whole Alonso going to the Indy 500.
Let's go to our European correspondent for all things big in motor racing, and of course it's Inga Strecha. And Inga, what a story has rocked the motorsport world in the last few days. Fernando Alonso is going to take part, biggest spectacle in motor racing, the Indy 500. Now, this has rocked Indy and Formula One. First of all, what's your reaction, the European reaction?
My first reaction was I looked at the calendar thinking it was maybe April Fool's Day, but it wasn't. And I was like, really? But then at second thought, it really makes sense. I mean, the Indy 500 are an icon. They're like just really amazing. They're phenomenal. Even in like terms of spectators, you know, yes, the Monaco Grand Prix is fabulous. It's cool. It's the pinnacle of Formula One. But I think for Alonso, it really makes sense, especially in the state that him and McLaren Honda are at the moment. And he said it quite rightly. He said, if we were fighting for a world championship, we couldn't afford to lose 25 points. Well, and that is the driver's we, so him and the team. But he's not in that position, unfortunately. So he is aiming to somehow establish himself as the greatest driver in time. And that means 8500, Monaco Grand Prix, and Le Mans.
And he's won Monaco.
Yes, he's won Monaco. He hasn't done Le Mans yet. He hasn't done Indy. And I don't think he has done a lap at the Indy 500 track. Of course, you know, Formula One did race in Indianapolis, but that was a different track. That was not the oval.
It's interesting because Montoya was looking at this last year, and of course Montoya has won the Indy 500 and he's won Monaco, but he was looking around at Porsche getting a test with the LMP1 team with the possibility of maybe taking part in Le Mans, and I know that that's the triumvirate he too won.
Well, then Alonso needs to really hurry up, because if Juan Pablo wins it first, then he is second only.
It would be kind of cool to see the pair of them, and of course they will race each other at the Indy 500. And of course Rossi, who won the 500 last year and who raced against Alonso in Formula One last year, will be his teammate. So there's a lot of really interesting stories to come out of it.
Well, and it's a pretty cool team, you know, Michael Andretti. That's a big name. That's a big name in Europe as well, in Formula One. That's a name we all know here.
Very much so, yeah. And of course, Mario, I'm sure, will be there. In fact, he's doing a special run with Schmidt Autosport with the Arrow car. So he's taking on, that challenge as well. So Mario, as always, he'll probably be doing the two-seater as well. Yeah, I think it's a really good story. But let's get to the nitty-gritty of it. Does this harm Formula One? It's fantastic for Indy because it kind of reinstates just how valuable this one event is to the American motorsport crowd and to a worldwide crowd.
Well, look, I mean, if Fernando goes there and just like really does well, I'm not even saying winning, but really does well, then of course it's great for Formula One, because that will show that Formula One drivers can just go there, take part in the most prestigious race of the IndyCar series and win or do well. Whereas, you know, mentioning Juan Pablo Montoya, okay, it was the team, it was the car. He was so well in Champ Cars, IndyCars, and then he came to Formula One and everybody expected him to win, and, you know, he didn't. So, he didn't win the title. Formula One can really win from that.
Yeah, and I think, I tell you who, I mean, obviously the biggest gain of all of this is Honda, because Honda have got their tails up in IndyCar anyway, because they've come back against Chevrolet in the last year. And in fact, in the first two rounds, both St. Pete and at Long Beach last weekend, which I was at, Honda dominated qualifying, which is often, I mean, the race itself can always be a lottery. But in terms of overall speed and reliability, Honda have really bounced back. And so they've got their tails up. And I don't need to tell you how bad things are with Honda in McLaren. They've got to be, you know, they've got to be rectified, and they're still working on it. So I think it's a masterstroke by Zak Brown. I think he's the man behind all this. And of course, he's got very strong ties to America, obviously being in America, but also living in India and his company being based there. So I think it's a very smart move to get together with Mark Miles of Indy and put this off, because from a PR point of view, it really is the ultimate story. And you only have to go back in history, Nigel Mansell, Graham Hill, many, many great European drivers have taken on this challenge.
Yeah. And, you mentioned Zak Brown, and actually it was a conversation Zak and Alonso apparently had in Australia. And Alonso was saying that Zak asked him about his ambitions and his plans for the future. And he mentioned the Triple Crown to be the best driver in the world. And he said, I would have to either win 8 world championships in Formula One to have one more than Michael Schumacher, or be winning different series. And that is his goal. And I think everybody is surprised that it actually did come together so quickly. But also, going back to your early question, how Formula One can benefit from this. Well, with the new owners of Liberty and plans to have more races in the US with a Formula One driver coming to the Indy 500 already, as you said, big PR, making the news, everybody's aware. Maybe this is also a good thing for Formula One because they get into more people's minds in the US than they would normally.
Well, and I think also, and I've been saying it on many of our conversations, that it just annoys to see our best driver, our greatest asset in the one, effectively not even finishing in the point and doing into certainly on NBC, where, you know, saying it's driven the greatest drive he's ever driven. He's 11th. And it wouldn't happen in any other sport. I mean, you wouldn't see a quarterback like Tom Brady sat on the sidelines or not being in the limelight. And I think it's important that just for his legacy, for Honda's reputation, and for McLaren's reputation. Remember, it's McLaren who are entering Indy 500. I think it's also a masterstroke in that respect because we were losing the limelight of one of our greatest assets and one of the greatest drivers, I think, of all time. And he was about to be sort of, you know, disappearing into the annals of history with those two world championships, but not a lot else to show for it. So, you know, I think, and I also think to put a more blunt thing on it, I think he was going to leave Honda and Formula One if things didn't change and he got some opportunity to do something.
Could be, you know, could very well be, and very understandably. And I think this is cool. Like, if you imagine, like, this is like him waking up. The remarks he's made, the smile he's made, you know. Look at last year when there was one of the most famous Fernando Alonso tweets was places I would like to rather be now. I don't know if you remember that. Alonso sitting in the deck chair in, where was it?
Brazil, was it?
Sao Paulo?
Yeah, I think it was.
I think it'd be 2 years ago.
I love the. Remember all the tweets?
Oh yeah, the pictures all over the place. I saw one this week that took him, put him on the bricks.
They put him on the bricks. We retweeted that. That was that was not a big account. That's just one of our followers on Twitter that I saw. I forgot who that was.
That's awesome.
But man, this story, like they were saying, there's so many facets to it and so many implications across different sports, across drivers and teams. It's really fascinating.
Exactly. And the thing that amazes me is this is going to send ripples. And I think, you know, quite honestly, we haven't had somebody truly a big name come out of F1 and go to Indy. As much as we love Alexander Rossi, he's not yet a big name.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that he showed up in Indy and went straight to the podium.
In recent history. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, Mario Andretti did it in years past. But, you know, here you are. Two-time world champion in Fernando, and he gets to parlay his way into Indy, and, you know, there's still that one race. He wants to go to Le Mans and run there. So it's not over. He's got his bucket list he's building, and I think he's, you know, very wisely, McLaren is being smart in helping him reach that because they have not been able to deliver the equipment he needs.
I think that's the bottom line, is that they're doing everything they can to keep him. It's like, okay, if we're not going to... I mean, again, another frustrating day in Formula One that he had. So speaking of that, we need to take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk some Formula One, and we're also going to talk some World Endurance Championship. Of course, the opening to their season at Silverstone. Just in the Speed City, live from Austin, Texas, back after a very quick break.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane. MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. to Caddy Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Keep up with the latest breaking news in Austin and around the world. Take a moment to make sure you're following us on Twitter at Talk1370.
Let the tweeting begin!
Just one more way to stay connected with Talk1370. The right choice.
Talk1370. The right choice.
Hi, I'm Mike Brewer from Wheeler Dealers on Velocity Channel, and this is Speed City.
Mike Brewer, when did you catch up with him? He was here in Austin at Cars and Coffee or something?
Yeah, we had him here in Austin, and I arranged for a couple of cars to come out. You'll actually see him on, if you ever see that rerun, when he comes to Austin looking for a Corvette. But there's a great shot. There's a couple of nice Mopars he was checking out there.
Oh, cool. All right, well, we're going to talk some Formula One because it was, honestly, I'm just excited because Ferrari, they have the best start now since, as a team, the best start to a season since 2008.
It's been quite a while. And you know what I like about this season? For one, Ferrari's up there. They're dicing it up with Mercedes. I mean, I feel like they really are right on cue with this. They came out of the starting block strong. It's looking great. Sebastian and Lewis had a great chase today.
Yeah.
Strategy came into play. Lewis had a little fault there with cutting across to take the pit lane in front of Daniel Ricciardo. But even Ricciardo was looking sharp today. The Red Bull guys really gave him a good car. He kept it running all the way through. Felipe Massa Williams was right behind him. Oh, man, I'm always happy to see Williams up there just from the history.
How about that crash with Williams, though? Oh, my, rammed into the side of Lance Stroll?
Yeah.
That was full speed ahead, man.
You know, that's a good one to argue about, quite honestly. But I'm more apt to say Lance Stroll was on the normal racing line. I'm not sure he would have seen anything. If you listen to the post-event discussions, Lance says, last time I looked at him, he was 60 meters behind me coming out of pit lane.
Yeah, I heard
that.
And
it almost looks like he just went for the full body check on Lance.
Yeah, Carlos Sainz just rammed him. It was pretty high speed.
Yeah, and you know the argument's going to be, and I can just imagine what Carlos Sainz was. I was going to take the inner line on it.
Yeah,
I was like, not at that speed.
Yeah,
there was no way that was going to survive the apex and get through. But really cool. Like I said, you know, had Lewis not cut across the white line, the entry line for the pit lane, he would have been 5 seconds closer to Sebastian. Well, at the end, he was 6.6 seconds behind. So everything was a close run. And, you know, I was on edge for seeing Lewis, but I loved also seeing Sebastian out front. Valtteri Bottas, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Took the pole, ran hard all race. And he's such a nice guy in the paddock, too.
But it was interesting to see, well, it was about 10 laps to go, when Hamilton was coming up behind Bottas, and it did not take long, and he went past him decisively was the word they chose on NBC today, Diffie and the boys.
Right.
But it was strong move to go blast past him.
Yeah, and it was. And in fact, Lewis acknowledged that in the post-race interviews, thanking Valtteri for the gentleman racing and letting him blast by. You know, I have to say one thing. Valtteri's speed, you know, we've seen it in a NASCAR. Danica can qualify, but she can't race the entire race, people have said. I'm anxious to see Valtteri, how he stays with Lewis the rest of the season. Because obviously right there on lap times. He's, you know, I mean, it's a blink between them. And I was kind of surprised that he let Lewis by to go after him.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't recall what the tire settings were at that time. I know that the Mercedes conserved their tires much better than the Ferraris. As some of the guys were saying there. So maybe that was the case that Valtteri knew Lewis was on a better set of tires at the moment.
You know, it's funny. At the beginning of the race, you see Red Bull doing really well with a full load of fuel. And as the race goes on, it seems like they kind of, you know, lose it a little bit. Maybe their car is set up better with a full load of fuel. I don't know.
Yeah, that's one of those things that changes, you know, throughout the course. Now, especially there in Bahrain, you're dealing with not only the, you know, weights that are obvious, but we're going from a daylight to dark for Bahrain. And so you're seeing temperature change, air temperature, track temperature, all of those things are coming into play. We've already talked about the soft compound tires are difficult to manage their temperature range. And so there was some notion said earlier after qualifying to watch and see who goes with Supersoft, because Supersoft was a little bit easier to, you know, get into its temperature range than Soft. So,
Yeah, it's part of the complexities of this season, man. I really am excited about this season. Not only because we're not watching Mercedes run away with every right. single race, and seeing Sebastian and the boys, Kimi Raikkonen, but there's a lot of complexities with the new cars and all the G-forces with the aero and everything. There's a ton to it. But also, we had Haas F1 back in the points, man. That is awesome. I mean, I know that we didn't get Magnussen in there with finishing the race because of some sort of electronics. I haven't heard the exact final problem.
Yeah, brakes went away, I believe, and I don't know what actually drove to that. But, yeah, there you go. Romain Grosjean, eighth place for Haas. So that's a nice 4-point pickup right there. That is definitely, you know, I'm hoping that's more the normal range we're going to see. As long as that car sticks together and the guys stick together, I think we're going to look good. You know, the frustrating thing for me, Kvyat was looking strong, but sure started slowing down, had some issues there. He had some ugly passes. If you go back and watch that race, it was not all that clean.
Yeah.
But Sergio Perez might get a finger shook at him with one of his run-ins. I want to say that he had a close one with Massa that got his attention.
Well, it was obviously a very exciting race because of all the little things that we've been talking about. And I don't know, some of the big things, what do you think, Les? I mean, at this point going forward, there's all these stories. I mean, is Ferrari going to be able to continue? I think they will. I mean, based on what the way it's going. And is Mercedes going to be able to catch back up? And because my favorite stories, of course, are those, plus Haas F1 seeing. Because you remember at the beginning of the year, we were talking and we were all predicting, and I was a little worried, are we going to be able to follow it up in our sophomore season? Jonathan was saying they might be able to do better. And, I mean, as of this moment, what are they, seventh in the constructor standings right now? I think that's where they are. So, yeah, they're seventh with 8 points. You know, Toro Rosso with 12, Haas with 8, and Renault with 2, and Sauber and McLaren haven't scored any points yet. But that's my favorite story. But what about the rest of them?
The rest of them. I think it's going to be a Ferrari-Mercedes season for sure. They keep dicing up with each other. Sebastian's got that car under him that he's been looking for years.
Man, no kidding. It feels like it, doesn't it?
I just think that's one that is something else. You watch his relationship amongst the team, and they truly like Sebastian. You know, I think that's a big part of it.
I'd like to see I wonder how many more races between, you know, the little mini love affair with Hamilton and Vettel. It's been, it's great to have competitors, but let's see just how far ahead Sebastian will get before Hamilton starts changing his mind.
Yeah, he might do that. You know, my curiosity and my love is that, you know, Valtteri is up there mixing it up with the boys too.
Yeah, if Raikkonen's up there too, and Ricciardo and Verstappen, you know, out today. Yeah. I feel like Verstappen's obviously got just as good a chance as any of the behind 1, 2, 3, 4, and I'm assuming that if
he does, as long as his patience holds together, he gets impatient. You've heard some of his radio things where they're clipping because he's yelling so loud, you know,
bleeping.
Yeah, I don't know if it's bleeping or getting clipped off, but yeah, those are some of the things. Carlos Sainz, you know, man, that was just bad when he nose bombed into the curve there.
Yeah, there was a bunch of stories today in Formula One, and it is going to be fun to watch. And of course, we've got let's see, Toro Rosso. I'm just looking at some of the standings here and where everybody's sitting as far as drivers and constructors. I mean, no huge surprises as of this moment, but with Felipe Massa in seventh place, Daniel Ricciardo sixth, Max Verstappen fifth, and then the Mercedes and the Ferrari boys. Carlos Sainz at ninth, and in the constructor standings, of course. I mean, if you think about it, Force India sitting there at fourth. It's weird how kind of under the radar, and you look up and they're in fourth place. It's like every year, the last couple three years.
It is. It's really interesting because Force India has had some tough battles, and they just haven't shown all that strongly consistently, I'll say. But glad to see them up there in the mix. This season, you know, I got to say, with all the changes, I was a little worried if what it would do. But, hey, it's just about 52-card pickup with everybody being mixed in together.
Yes, sir. Well, hey, you know what, Les? We've got just a couple more minutes before we break. And, of course, Michael Schenck of Michael Schenck Racing is going to be with us here in just about 5 minutes. But I want to talk – we're going to talk World Endurance Championship later in the show after we talk to Michael Schenck. But we have this week MotoGP coming to our town. And well, probably some of them already hit town.
They have. They have already started rolling in. I saw some rigs showing up. The fuel has arrived. They are here. They're coming in. So, you know, definitely check that out. Tickets are available. This is one of those events, folks, that don't go sit down in one spot. Seriously,
yeah.
Go run around. These are some of the best sights. You know, when somebody like Niki Lauda tells you he thinks this is more exciting than Formula One, you might ought to check it out. You know, and honestly, the reason I think he said that is for the reason I enjoy watching it. Now, by no means am I capable of anything near what these guys are doing, even Moto Americas or the RC 390 Cups. I'm not there at all. But to watch the body mechanics of the riders and what they do through these is just astonishing.
I thought you were going to go to the other direction a little bit about how the street bikes, the things you can walk into the Yamaha or Ducati or wherever and buy something that's relatively close. We were at my son was with me, and we were at a stoplight, and a brand new Yamaha, I guess it was an R1, pulled up next to us.
Yep.
It was a gorgeous bike, and he was talking about how, he said, that's amazing. How close is that to an actual MotoGP bike? And I said, amazingly close. I mean, I know there's a good bit of change, but really considering the difference between that and I said, compare that to any form of four-wheel racing, it's not even close.
You know? Right.
There's nothing on the street that's close to an F1 car, but... Yeah.
I mean, it's just insane, you know, what you can buy on the floor nowadays. And they're amazing bikes. They're technology. You look at some of these, and they are just impressive in what they will do horsepower-wise, what they'll do on what they call street tires now. I mean,
yep.
Quite honestly, it's just amazing to me what you can buy on a showroom floor. Quite honestly, it's a little bit scary for me, too.
Yeah, it's true. You got a bike that'll go 200 miles an hour?
Yeah, I got to take that Panigale out with 200-plus horsepower.
Jeez.
I had no good sense being on that bike. But what if I did manage to buy that and get on it? You know, I really want, you know, by all means, I want everybody to have a cool bike and love them, but get the proper training and gear, please.
Yeah, and take advantage of the full advantage on the racetrack.
Absolutely.
All right, guys, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, Michael Schenck of Michael Schenck Racing. Very excited to get to talk to him about what's coming up here at Circuit of the Americas and not too long after MotoGP. Listening to Speed City here in Austin, Texas, back after a quick break.
If you've ridden motorcycles in this part of the country for long, no doubt you know of Bud's Motorcycle Shop. Bud left this world a while back, but his legendary Harley services ride on. No longer is Bud's located in downtown Austin, it's now Rebels HD and has moved out by the Formula One track. You'll see all the familiar faces, so bring your new, used, and abused. But remember, there's no sign of shiny showroom prices. So check it out at RebelsHD.com.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane. The racetrack. It's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Join me weekdays for This Morning, America's First News. Hear the stories you'll be talking about and searching for all day as we go beyond the headlines and above the chatter. Weekdays at 5 on Talk 1370.
You've made the right choice. Talk 1370.
Hey, it's Patrick Lindsay driving the Park Place Motorsports Porsche, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City. Man, we have a new intern in the studio today, and he walked in. He was looking out over the skyline of Austin. He's like, oh, man, this is a badass studio. I said, yeah, and if you look way over there to the right, you can see the Circuit of the Americas Tower, maybe, if you have better eyes than me.
Yeah, yeah, well, it is a great view, you know.
Over this, an like awesome city.
And I always like, you know, telling people about this and how cool it is. But then I see the traffic jam, and so, no, don't move here. It really sucks.
Okay, everything but Mopac. All right, guys. Well, we're really fired up because you guys, we've been talking to a few of the Michael Schenck race drivers over the season, talking about the Acura and the season these guys are having and how exciting it is with a new car and everything. But we got the man today. We want to welcome Michael Schenck to Speed City. Welcome back to Speed City, sir.
I'm glad to be here, man. Thanks for having me tonight.
Oh, very exciting to have you. And you guys, how, you know, we've heard it from all the drivers, and we're really excited to talk to you directly. But it looks like a really exciting season. I know everything hasn't gone exactly to plan yet, but you guys are just getting rolling with this new car.
Well, we're three races in. I'm happy to report that our Acura is literally every time we drop the lift gate on the trailer, they're better. And there's so many areas. You know, we're talking about a virgin race car, man. I mean, this thing is not like a Porsche or an Audi or the other cars that are the Mercedes in our class that's doing real well. Those cars have 2-3 years on it. This car is brand new, and it has been tough. I mean, but I'll tell you, all the people from Acura, HPD, my group, man, we have worked so hard. We have worked so hard on this car to get it competitive, and it's coming better every day. You know, listen, it's not been perfect yet. We led Daytona. We led 200 laps, which are almost 200 laps. I was really proud of that fact.
Yeah.
If it would have kept raining, we could have really won. I think if our BOP was where it is today, just keep in mind, from Daytona till now, they've raised our horsepower 4 times.
Ooh, okay? Wow.
Three or four times. So, but that tells you how far off we are at Daytona.
Yeah, that's huge.
That's no debate. That's just the way it is. They've been slow playing us, and that's fine. So it's taken this long to get the BOP kind of close. We're not quite there yet, but still, you know, at Long Beach, we had the 93 car in a position to be second or third, and we actually made a mistake on the stand ourselves. And it's a long story how and why. Got caught up in a little bit of the moment, but we were positioned to do much, much better there. The 86 car got speared, got lawn darted there on the last lap.
Yep.
Not a lot to say about that. Just a missed opportunity. But again, think about this. We're P5 in the championship. We're 6 points out of P2. So it ain't all bad.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
We're not there. That's for sure. And I'm telling you, we're pushing hard to get it better.
Yeah, but you know what? It just feels like you guys, a tweak or two here or there, whether it's BOP or whatever it is, or a little luck, and you guys are winning races, is what it feels like.
It does. And we've got, you know, the drivers we picked for this effort are pure experience, and that's why we brought them on. And if you guys could see the emails that happen after a race or a test day, you'd be amazed. I mean, there's so much data coming to my group, my engineering staff, and also HPD, mechanical, aero, engine, every department. It's just so much information, and we're bum rushing the development cycle. You know, the Acura NSX street car debuted this year, and this program had to happen this year, and we're making it happen. It's taken a hair longer than we all would like, but we're moving in the positive direction. I promise.
Well, one thing is, we've talked about this a little bit before. I don't mean to overdo it, but that car is a gorgeous car. And obviously the street version, which I think I've read it's like 60% of the street version. That's an amazing supercar. And like the street version, an affordable supercar as compared to the ones that it, really that it's competing with.
Well, think about what you're saying there, because listen, a Porsche 918, which is an awesome car, also is $1 million.
Right. Okay? Right.
An Acura NSX is $190,000 if you max it out. Okay, which is, listen, in either case, you're paying, you know, a lot of money for a car. But I'm telling you, that NSX is so close in performance to that 800 or 900 horsepower car. It's crazy. It's I'm so proud of that group up in Marysville, Ohio, that build that car. They take real pride in it. It's completely hand, and it's a value. And it's like you're driving a Civic until it's not. Until you hit the big realize what you got. So,
all righty, Michael. So we've had, you know, we've talked to most of the guys over the course of the beginning of the season, and nobody actually gets to drive one of those on a daily basis. Is it because you've got it hidden somewhere that you have the street car?
They don't give them up very easy. I do have one.
Uh-huh.
So, we knew it.
I went to that place. I went to where they build them and talked to the people and got such. I'm telling you, if you're thinking about buying one, do a tour there because you will buy one. They really care, and I appreciate who care.
First one I saw was about 2 weeks ago here in Austin, and a silver one, and it was just gorgeous. And you know, I'm craning my neck. Thankfully, I wasn't the one driving, but that car looked awesome. And I can't wait to see them.
It is. We can't wait to get there, actually. So. We went directly from Long Beach to Laguna Seca to test the Laguna last Wednesday. So a lot of that Laguna testing we're bringing to you guys at COTA. And we're really hoping that we're another step better again, which I see no reason why we shouldn't be. And we keep moving closer to the front of the grid there. Every week, before every week we go out, the IMSA readjusts the BOP. So we just got to see how that lies. And at the end of it, how that works out, and all I can focus on is getting our chassis better, and that's what we're focused on.
Yeah, you guys focus on what you can control and let them do that. And what I would love to see is that when you guys get here to Circuit of the Americas, that everything falls together. That would be a blast to see you guys take that car and win here.
Yeah, it would be. It would be a huge day when we can get that W done. I just for so many people that have put so much effort into it.
Well, we love to talk about Circuit of the Americas. It's right down the street from us. But tell us what you guys are expecting here and what's different and what's unique about COTA as compared to what you've done.
Well, a couple things. You know, so COTA is a true road course, and we haven't been to one yet. If you think about it, we've done Daytona, which is an odd duck. Sebring, really odd duck. Long Beach, which is a street course. We haven't been on a natural road terrain course, and now we are. And we're coming to one of the best in the world. So we got smooth. With a lot of grip, changing elevations, you need downforce, but you still got to get down into that hairpin to pass people. There's a lot of dynamics there. But the biggest thing is what do we do for a track now that we can run the car low, we can run it stiffer typically because it can take more grip. You know, we have to be ready to do that. We got to be able to ride the curbs at the track there. You know, that's another thing that people focus a lot on. We got to be able to use those curbs. Totally different ball game when we come to you guys. And again, it's the first time this year we'll have run 2 hours and 40 minutes, which brings a strategy element to it. Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
So COTA will be a new look for IMSA and us because we haven't been there by ourselves for a long time. Okay.
Right.
So we come out, you know, we want to get folks to come out and see what we're doing there. But again, all those new elements that we haven't hit this year will start differentiating the top five in points, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up, you guys have been here with WEC every year, and of course, we love it that it's broken apart because
one more
race. We get another weekend of racing. But obviously, there's a big, it's in a full event, there's lots going on, and this is one of those good ones here in Austin where, you know, kids 12 and under are free, and where you can get down and see the cars, and get down and see cars that look like your car, because there's all the different cars there, because there's lots of guys that come in their particular car, rooting for their guys, whatever they're driving.
Accessibility is the word. That means that if you live in Austin or central around Austin, anywhere close in Texas, come out there. You can walk right up to me or my drivers without anybody stopping you and have conversations. Come and see our car. It's the single best thing about IMSA racing is the accessibility we have to fans because we have to. I mean, we want people to see our product. you know, we're not NASCAR, or IndyCar. We're a different product, okay? And we want people to come out and feel like they're a part of it. If they feel like they're a part of it, they will turn that into a tradition. The families, the kids, you know, that's how I got in it, from a family tradition, you know? So we encourage everyone to come out. We encourage people to come right down in the garages and say hi.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is, folks. And one of the things is, Michael's team is always really friendly. If they've got time, you're going to get a chance to get an autograph, get that souvenir autographed, get some pictures and all that. But I'm going to tell you, we love Michael Shank Racing, but a lot of the teams are that way. Come down, shake hands, get involved, you know, figure out who you like and get behind them. Also, during this event, wear comfortable shoes, sunscreen, yeah, earbuds. Plan on walking all around. This is one of the greatest series because you can go all around that track through this race and see all the different views that you will never get to see during Formula One unless you pay really big bucks.
Yeah, and we got it straight from Michael's mouth that you can come down and talk. I love that.
Yeah, man. I think he said we could take his NSX out. So, yeah.
I got that hidden away. Don't worry.
You're in our town. We'll find it.
All right. Got it.
Speaking of coming to Austin, do you get to get out and enjoy some of what Austin's known for other than racing, you know, the live music and the food and things?
Oh, man, I tell you, Austin for me is one that the whole family comes to usually. We love it. We love going down on one of the lakes down there. There's a couple restaurants on. I've just lost the name of it. But we love going down there, eating dinner on the lake or down on, is it 6th Street where all the bars are? And we do all that. We love all that. I went to a rooftop bar downtown once that was just awesome. It's great. We love it. And I am hoping that everyone around Texas, in that area of Texas, will come out and support us when we come down.
Well, things are going well. I know that. We've got a lot of folks that come in, and I love that folks are coming for racing, and then they fall in love with the city, and they still want to come out and be here. One of the things that I noticed, I had the opportunity to go to Spa this past year, and, you know, there was nothing close to the track. I mean, it was a long drive. There was nothing developed around it. At least this way, you're 20 minutes from town, and, you know, it's not some crazy drive.
It's fantastic, and world's best barbecue is in your area. We go to the one downtown there that everyone waits in line for.
Franklin's,
Franklin's, yep, that's it. These are all things that matter to me and my guys that travel over the country. So
they watch the Travel Channel. We can tell. We're not telling them where the real good barbecue is, the best.
Yeah, okay, I'm sure there's something else. Okay.
And, of course, we got Friday and Saturday, and there's tons of, we got the Lamborghini Series. You've got, the WeatherTech, the Continental Tire Series, the Porsche GT3 Cup. So it is a full couple of days of racing, so it's going to be a blast.
Absolutely. And also, you know, there's a lot of car corrals there. So, you know, not only do you have race cars to go look at, all of them, you have all these car corrals. People bring their hot rods out there. Just a lot to do. It's more of an event, you know, than just a race, you know?
Yep. Well, Michael Shank, we really appreciate you coming on Speed City, and we're really excited to have you here in Austin, and we are going to definitely look you up and somehow get a drive in an NSX.
That sounds good.
All right. Thanks a lot, buddy. We appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, guys.
See you soon.
Man.
Travel
Bye.
Safe.
Bye. Okay.
All right. You know, all this talk, somebody's going to hand us the keys to an NSX for at least a few minutes at some point.
Sure. Sure. It feels good to say that anyway. But, hey, so that race, May 5th and 6th weekend, is when you want to be around.
Yep, Friday, Saturday.
Definitely check it out. It is a lot of fun. Seriously, I mean, I can't say it enough. This is one of the best ones for coming out. If you're new to motorsports, you want to check it out, you're going to recognize these car shapes and the silhouettes. You're going to get to meet the drivers, and you'll see these folks on TV. And so it's cool because you might meet them in person here and figure out, this guy was really nice. And, look, he let, you know, the kids get a picture in the car. I've seen them actually do that. If the mechanics aren't working on the car, they'll grab a kid, set him in the driver's seat, get him hooked right there. I love that part about this.
Yeah, so. And you know, one thing we can't forget about IMSA, I mean, I know we talk Formula One, and I know we talk World Endurance Championship and some, you know, these amazing series, but IMSA, the drivers in IMSA and engineering and all the things, this is truly world class. I mean, I would say you could take some of these drivers and swap places with some of the, maybe even Formula One, and these guys could excel. That's the level that you're talking about in IMSA right now.
It is. It's a very different style and a different feel in driving an open wheel car as Formula One is an Indy car compared to a full body car, you know, or 10 tops as some of them call them. you know, it's a very different style of car. It's a very different sensation as a driver. It's been a lot of fun getting to meet these and go with difference. But let's talk about tickets. Your two-day weekend pass, $79, and under 12 are free with an admission with an adult. And so, hey, this is pretty cheap for 2 days of world-class racing. A single-day pass is $49. Again, free 12-year-old and under with an adult admission.
And you know what? Also, there's still a handful of people that have been in Austin, and they buy tickets at places like Ticket City or whatever, and they and if they've never been to COTA, this is the one. So, all right, we got to take a break, Les, and when we come back, we're going to talk World Endurance Championship, because it was a season opener in Silverstone, and a little MotoGP to preview what's happening in Austin in less than a week. Listen to Speed City in Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane. MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
If every talk radio program were the same, what would be the point? The Michael Berry Show is a little bit different. We're going to talk about politics, but we'll also talk about how great it is to live in Texas. Weekdays 5 to 7 on Talk 1370. It's the Michael Berry Show.
On air, online, and on your smart device, Talk 1370 is the right choice.
Hi, this is Ryan DeElg, and this is Speed City.
There's another one of those badass race drivers that probably be racing in just about any series he wanted, given the right break.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And a pile of money, maybe, over to Formula One.
That'll
all right,
work.
So we've been talking about IMSA coming to Austin, but next weekend, in a few days, MotoGP is coming to Austin, Texas.
Hey, and you're going to find the Speed City guys all over the place. We're going to be in your face on the big screens. We'll be in your ears, running the COTA app and the Speed City app. So tune in to any way you want.
Yeah, we'll be out on the loudspeakers out there at COTA. But, man, this is...
Jonathan always is, but...
Well, that's true. He doesn't have to be...
No speaker required.
No speaker, exactly. But obviously, we talk about Formula One a lot, and we talk about MotoGP. But, you know, this is the only stop in North America for MotoGP, the world's best motorcycle racing. Heck, even Moto2 and Moto3. So this is a serious events.
You know,
motorcycles at 215 miles an hour in the backstreet.
They are approaching 220. I think somebody actually hit it last year.
220.
But this is one of those things. This season is all shook up like Formula One. It's really doing awesome. Last week was a great race in Argentina. And so that is one of those races that everything got shook up. Maverick Vinales up front on his Yamaha. Marquez was next in the Honda. And, you know, our Ducati family has to be happy. Four Ducatis in a row all the way back through there. So that's really looking good. I am just really anxious to see Andre Dovizioso get a hold of those handlebars and stick with them.
And not have somebody smash into him?
Not have somebody run into him and any of those things. I mean, he's had some issues. Agreed. But, you know, the thing I'm looking at is here are these Ducatis that were up front. We know Andrea can ride, obviously, with his championships. But, you know, as we've talked about with some of the others, it's a different flavor of bike. It's not just the color. It takes some different things. Otherwise, we would have seen, you know, Stoner and Spees. We would have seen these guys really grab onto it and do well. Rossi didn't do so great on it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, here we are a couple of generations of bike later. It's a different style or approach to the riding. So
I mean, Scott
Redding's been doing good with it. He finished well.
Well, and Dovizioso with a little more luck would be it would be interesting. But you know, to me, the story right now is Vinales. You know, Suzuki last year and over to Yamaha. You don't know. All right, what's going to happen? Starts off with the winning the first two races of the season. Well, you know, realize the last time this happened, this was 1990. Wayne Rainey. Isn't that cool?
Boom.
I mean, I heard an interview with Vinales when they were telling him that, and he was just, I mean, he was emotional. He was like, wow, it's really, if you had told me this before the season, yeah, it's huge.
And, you know, like I said, part of it being Yamaha, and that was Wayne's brand for so long, that's something else. But, you know, don't forget, we're also going to have Moto America classes there as
well.
That's
true.
another full weekend of racing. Be sure and get out there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Check the schedules. Those are posted up at circuitamericas.com. Like I said, Speed City guys will be all over the place. You see a Speed City shirt go by, reach out, shake a hand. We'd love meeting you guys when we're out there.
Yeah, let's look at the schedule. So this immediate few days. So gates open at 7:30, so you can get out there early. And of course, practices, Moto3, Moto2, MotoGP, and Moto America qualifying on Friday. If you want to get out there, you get out there by lunch to see the first of the real action of qualifying. And of course, you got they've got the stunt show out there again. That's always pretty cool. And the Night Owls, I guess that's one of some of the music that's going on. I mean, remember, this is a full blown event. This is the best in the world in motorcycle racing coming out here. And of course, Saturday is when everything really gets going, because you've got Moto3, Moto2, MotoGP all practice and then qualifying throughout the day. And again, gates open early again at 7 o'clock. And
hey, so one of the most popular things I'm going to tell you is on Friday, the 21st, definitely get over near the 360 amphitheater, you know, at the base of that tower, and be prepared for the autograph sessions.
The reason
I tell you to be prepared and be over there early is they have a limited number of folks that get to get in line and get the autographs. So plan ahead, be over there. You know, it's a lot of fun. I've had the opportunity to MC those, and it's really neat to hear those riders kind of in a little more casual atmosphere as we like to have around here and talk a little bit about it. So definitely check that out.
Don't forget the hookah hay.
Huh?
Apparently, they're probably aiming for a little different demographic than us, but that's one of the music groups that's going to be out there.
Gotcha.
But, of course, you can also hear the race right here on AM 1370. So how awesome is that? Little radio station right here tucked off in the corner of Austin gets Formula One, MotoGP. You know, there's probably some people don't get the impact of that, but right here, AM 1370 carries the biggest races on the planet right here in Austin.
You bet. And you can hear them nationwide online as well.
Yep. You always go to speedcityradio.com and get that too.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit of pricing. A 3-day general admission, $89. And if you arrive on two wheels, go jump in and park for free.
Oh, really? That's cool. All right. Well, I want to jump straight to the World Endurance Championship, because it started this weekend, and the opening weekend at Silverstone. And of course, you know, it's really basically in the big boys. It's now down to Toyota and Porsche, and Toyota wins the first round, first battle, first blood, as they say.
That's right. Buemi knocked it out of the park a little ways into it, really did well. There were some jostling back and forth between the Porsche and the Toyotas, and, you know, that's something. It wasn't so long ago that the Toyotas just didn't get the respect.
Yep. And well, hey, we've got an interview with Harry Ticknell. You know, we actually had an interview with him last week, and he was part of the winning team. And I'm checking with our producer and see if he's got that all queued up. He's ready to go. Let's hear from Harry Ticknell.
Harry,
hey, how you doing?
How are you? Good well done. Congratulations. Harry Ticknell's back with us. So, come on. Magnificent. Was it Andy teaching you stuff? Have you been teaching Andy?
I don't know what happened, to be honest. It's all a bit of a blur now we're talking about it. But yeah, it's amazing that only a few weeks ago we were sat in the RAC club talking about potentially coming and winning this race. And today, you know, first 10 minutes, we were almost down and out with an unscheduled pit stop for an issue with the door. To come back and win it, it's just unbelievable. I mean, of course, Andy's unbelievable as a teammate. I'm in a very, very lucky position with Ford, and to have him, we bounce off each other and we really, you know, set the car up well. And Pipo for his first race to come and win is just fantastic as well. And it all came right. And yeah, amazing.
Really was a team today, wasn't it? Absolutely fantastic team effort.
Absolutely. We never gave up. We never gave up. The boys have been working so hard all winter on their pit stops. They were just fantastic again today. And, you know, the engineering staff gave us a fantastic car, and for me it was a pleasure to drive. And when you're in there, you don't really know what's going on with the times and the people around you. It was all quite spread out, but they were just kept updating me every 10 laps, saying, you know, fantastic job, and the car's really quick, and just keep going. And for me in the car, you know, I was, you know, starting to get tired towards the end, 2.5 hours in these GT cars around here is not easy. But I was just trying to keep that relentless pace up, no mercy. And yeah, in the last couple of laps, had to manage a little door issue again, but managed to bring it home on the top step, which is fantastic.
And in the press conference said you're going home to get some sleep now.
Well, that's the official line, but you know, it is bank holiday Sunday, so no work tomorrow for most people, so we'll see if I get a second wind or not.
Harry, congratulations. Lovely to see you at the top of the podium.
Thanks a lot. Great to see you again.
That was Jonathan's buddy, Nick Kinnerly. He's been doing some interviews for us around the world with World Endurance Championship.
Always love having our Speed City family reach around and grow.
But World Endurance Championship, of course, will be here in Austin, and it's going to be fun to watch this year. Without Audi, it's a little different. You know, it's a little different feel with this. But, I mean, look, there's so many classes and so many cool things within WEC that it's, I mean, and who knows who's going to be coming back into World Endurance Championship. And we know that's the way it works. Some manufacturers come in and they get the data they want or get the exposure they want, and then they bow out and maybe even come back in.
Yeah, this is really neat. And, you know, when you have folks that, you know, backstep, if you will, come back into this, you know, Mark Webber, come back to sports cars because he loved it. That's where he started, where he first hit the professional ranks. And, you know, they love it. It's a big difference than the Formula One ranks.
Yep.
And, you know, not as many races, not as much stress, and just a lot more open environment. The paddock is definitely a lot friendlier and a lot more accessible for the fans.
I don't know if I'd agree with that stress, just because, you know, I mean, when you get to Le Mans, I mean, really, that there's as much pressure as there is on the planet. Well, hey, we got one more interview.
Good call. Yep.
Yeah, there's one more interview that I want to play because his teammate. Let's hear from Andy Prio because let's see how much time that one is. Yeah, let's hear from Andy Prio.
It's for Johnny Green and Speed City.
Absolutely. Hey, Johnny.
Well, that was a great start to the season, wasn't it, for you today?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, yesterday we had an amazing lap in quali, and today we've won the race from... We were on the back foot after the first stint, you know, and we fought hard, we never lost faith, and we had some luck with a safety car, but we had also some strong stints, you know, with Harry and, you know, Pipo and myself. We were fast, so, you know, you don't win races at this level if you're not fast, even with or without luck, you know, so, yeah.
Now, there's an axiom for you. You don't win races unless you're fast. All right, guys, we got to wrap it up because we are out of time.
We hope we see you next weekend.
Yeah, we hope we see you guys out at Circuit of the Americas next weekend. And we are very excited to be doing the commentary and everything out there. Check us out right here on AM Talk 13.
Download the app.
Yeah, download the Speed City app and check us out there. But we'll be right here on 1370 at 2 o'clock next Sunday for the race. Talk to you soon.
Ciao, y'all.
Take Talk with you anywhere. On your computer or smartphone, log on to talk1370.com.
A beautiful, beautiful sight.
Stay connected with Talk 1370, the right choice.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You know Graybar for electrical parts. But there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.